We're going to get to Brandon Morrow in a minute, but how do you see Omar Vizquel fitting in?
Well, he's clearly coming in to compete for a utility spot on our bench. I heard you say at the outset about, possible Hall of Famer. I think in minds of many, he's clearly a Hall of Famer. His defensive ability speaks for itself. And if there's, he's going to be 45 years old in April. We're all well aware of that. But what he's done in that role for the White Sox the last couple of years, and as he's transitioned later in his career, he's still a very, very valuable player, someone that could really connect with Yunel. We have no intentions of moving Yunel. He's become a very stable shortstop and a very good offensive player for us. So, Omar's experience, his abilities, we feel, and a leader in the clubhouse, we feel like he's a very good fit. He's got to come in and make the club, though.
With John Farrell and Sportsnet 590, The Fan. John, I was making the point that I know that in spring training, your infield practice is probably going to – it'll be more interesting than batting practice, with all due respect to your hitters, with those three shortstops.
Well, I think anybody who likes just the basic fundamentals of the game to watch, three guys at various stages of their career come in and get their work done. Having been with the Indians as a player alongside Omar, then in the front office when he was really in his prime, you never saw him get a bad hop. He always seemed to get a hop that was waist high. And there's a reason why he's a 13-time Gold Glover. And I'm sure some of the rhythm and the timing and the inner workings, along with Brian Butterfield, he'll be able to impart a lot of his experience and knowledge to two young guys. And, if you talk to people around the game, some think Adani Echevarria might be the best shortstop in the game today, mm-hmm. just on a defensive standpoint. So it'll be a fun time. It'll be an exciting time for sure.
What can he still bring to the table offensively? I'm not necessarily talking about numbers, but I'm talking about how you may be able to use him offensively. Is there a part of his game offensively that that is still useful? I guess would be the way I'd put it.
Well, yeah, he's definitely useful. There, we wouldn't have interest in him, if this wasn't a player that could come in and give a day off to a guy on the infield. We'd look at him as a defensive replacement for those, let's say a day game after a night game, a certain matchup, and still feel he's got the ability to contribute offensively. So I think more than anything, we look at the ability to go to three positions on the infield and give one of those three guys a day off when needed.
And the one thing with him, whatever position he's at, he'll get to some balls.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, even with his age, he's got savvy. He's got still his internal clock might be the best that's ever played the game. And when I say that, the internal clock, it's just the pace of the ground ball, being able to take the right angle to cut some balls off. Whether or not the arm strength is there to throw, make that long throw from deep in the hole at shortstop, that's something that we'll take a closer look at in spring training. But with the range of Brett at third base, Brett showed last year that he can cut so many of those balls off, really to help any shortcomings that Omar might have just because of father time.
With John Farrell on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, getting Brandon Morrow signed to a multi-year contract. I mean, look, Brandon Morrow was very clear. He would have had no problem going to arbitration. It's part of the game. It's part of the business. But, I mean, John, I think you would probably agree that any time you can avoid going to arbitration with a guy you're counting on to be at the very worst, well, I wouldn't say very worst, but the guy you're counting on to be your number two starter, a guy whose career hasn't always been a steady progression, that's probably a good thing to avoid arbitration with him.
There's no doubt about it. And I'm not the one to speak to the numbers of the deal, but I can tell you from a player standpoint, to have that security, to have that constant in their mind, knowing that for the next possible 4 years, here's someone, he's just going to get ready for spring training every year. He's going to continue to improve. When you look at what he's done over the last 2 years, in 2010, had to be shut down in September. Last year, he made it through the entire season and really finished on an uptick or trending upward. And I think he's really learning about himself as a starting pitcher and what the physical demands are of that. And more importantly, the intensity that he needs to pitch at for his most effectiveness. And I think we're going to see another big step forward from Brandon this year.
What is the, and I know this is one of the million-dollar questions with Brandon, what is his What is his top end? Are you one of those people who, you want to see 200 innings from the guy minimum, and you'll take whatever that 200 innings delivers? Or is he a guy that you can foresee a certain number of wins, or a guy who you can foresee a certain number of strikeouts, ERA?
Well, I think the one thing that is most in his control are the innings pitched. That's going to drive his workouts in between starts. That's going to set a mentality and a focus. Not to say he's not focused, but I think that's going to be a mental focal point for him to continue to build upon the 180 innings he threw last year. He's going to be a strikeout pitcher. We know he's a fly ball strikeout guy, and we feel like in our division, with the lineups that he'll go against, strikeouts are key. That doesn't mean that a guy like Alvarez can't have success in our division because he's a ground ball type of guy. But what fits Brandon so well is, again, his ability to get a strikeout in key spots. But I think most importantly, he's building on 180 innings, and for him to get to 195 to 200, that starts to profile as a number two type starter.
With John Farrell on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, what type of restrictions, that's, I don't know if that's the right word, John, but it's the one that's coming to my brain right now. What type of restrictions or what type of routine do you foresee for Brandon in spring training? Will you be a little more, will you allow him to have a little more of a workload to build up towards a 195, 200 inning guy, or do you still have to be a little careful with him? Or I guess what I'm asking is, are the kid gloves off? That's probably the wrong phrase, but are the kid gloves off with him?
Well, yeah, the kid gloves are off. When we start games, every starter will have six starts to get ready for opening day and beyond. That typically begins with a two-inning outing. We want to get our starters on their five-day rotation as soon as possible to build that routine, and they can continue to build towards the start of the season. But when you look at adding another 15 to 20 innings on last year's total, that's not going to come from two or three more starts inside of the 162-game schedule. That's going to be inside of the 32 starts that he'll make, or 33 starts. So even though he's a strikeout fly ball guy, he understands the ability or the need to pitch to contact a little bit more earlier in the count just to be a little bit more efficient. But the fact remains, we've got a very talented pitcher that's, I think, really starting to hit his stride, and he's in his prime. This is someone that by the end of the four-year deal is still going to be, 31 years old, and we're going to capture his most productive and strongest years in these next four.
John, is there something, when you talk about Brandon pitching to contact a little earlier in the count, does he have to use his pitches differently? Is there a certain pitch he'll have to feature more to get that contact?
Well, Jeff, that's probably hitting right at the crux or on the head of what we went through a year ago to try to create a guy that would get deeper into some games. But the fact is, he's going to generate a lot of foul balls because of the velocity he pitches at. He's going to have a lot of swing and miss because of his outstanding breaking ball. But I think the use of his curveball, as we got through the second half of last year, he was able to disrupt timing a little bit more. So when you throw your fastball on the plate, it's not just a foul ball all the time because guys are so geared up for his velocity. Now he's got a chance to have guys mishit the ball, put the ball in ground, weak fly balls. I think his curveball is probably the one pitch that allows him to go through that order a third time. His changeup is still a development pitch, but his curveball is one that really sets up his fastball and the slider that much more effective.
With John Farrell on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. John, do you have enough pitching to contend in the AL East this year and next year?
Well, the one thing that I will say, Jeff, is that, until we get to the trading deadline in July, there's nothing that says, we're at, January 24th here in the off season, and there's not a drop dead date that says, here's your roster, that's all you have to go with. We're going to find out in spring training that the guys that we're counting on right now to get us out of the gate early, to get us in a position to where we're going to stay with the three teams that we felt like we need to make the most ground up on, and that's New York, Boston, and Tampa. But if we're at a point where we can acquire another guy, if that need truly emerges even more clear, I'm sure Alex will make every effort to do that. But We're going into spring training with the guys that are currently on our roster, and that doesn't mean that by spring training something else might not happen.
You know, John, you spent a lot of time in player development as well as managing and coaching. Look, we all know that pitching is the gold standard in baseball right now, but my sense is from talking to Alex that even Alex and people who've been around baseball for a long time are just surprised at how much the price for trying to acquire a good young pitcher goes up and up and up. Are you surprised by how much it's costing teams now just to even trade for guys who are, you know, I mean, I'm not going to slag Gio Gonzalez, but it was a pretty hefty price to pay for Gio Gonzalez. Does that surprise you?
I think we saw something this offseason that we haven't seen in a while, or really at any other time, because so many, you know, a lot of people will say, well, when you have established young starters, you don't move those guys. But for various reasons, and maybe because what they were able to bring back in terms of trades, when you look at 4-for-1 type deals, that's a steep price to pay. And it points back to, and this is why Tampa's so successful. They set the standard right now for drafting and developing starting pitching. I think everyone else is behind them. That doesn't mean we don't have guys that we're very hopeful of, that we feel very good about, whether it's a Hutchinson, whether it's Deck McGuire, whether it's Nicolino, whether it's Syndergaard, Sanchez. Those guys are on the come. We've got a gap in between that we're working through. But to develop your own, that is the most important aspect in baseball. When you look at any playoff contending team, you point to their rotation as a strong point, and that's what we've got to continue to build to.